Critics blasted White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre after she made an unusual claim with regard to the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. So, this took place yesterday. And Jean-Pierre reiterated President Joe Biden's support for abortion rights access after Kansas voters rejected a referendum that would have removed the right to abortion from the state's constitution. And Jen Psaki, and circle back to that. I read some fascinating insight into and rationale as to why that amendment went down in Kansas, especially considering Kansas is such a red state. And some really interesting commentary that leaned in a bit to what we were talking about yesterday on the show on how it's hard to take the results of Tuesday's primary in those five states and really extrapolate out a larger narrative. Now, some have tried. There's a piece in the New York Times talking about how the primaries on Tuesday continue to show Trump's grip on the GOP. But in the meantime, these states have their own nuances, and these elections have their own nuances. So, again, we'll circle back to that in a moment. Before we talk with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien about this issue and Minneapolis and the man-baby mayor mom jeans Jacob Fry creating a safe haven on abortion, let's play this clip of KJP, the White House press secretary, yesterday.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
Okay, I'm going to play that one more time just so you can hear sort of the pretzel logic of the White House press secretary.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
We put up the lawyer extraordinaire signal into the beautiful sun-filled morning sky this morning, and Jeff O'Brien has joined us. Jeff, does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
No, it doesn't. You know, the idea that the Supreme Court, which determines what laws are constitutional and what are not, that it's theoretically impossible for the Supreme Court to take an unconstitutional action in one of their decisions. They decide the Constitution, so I'm not really sure what she's, I don't know, maybe she needs to go, maybe take a constitutional law class or something about how it works. There needs to be like a minimum civics test for people to work in the federal government, I think. The Supreme Court issued a decision that said this is a matter that is to be handled by the states and the feds, the federal government needs to stay out of it. So I don't see how the Supreme Court can act unconstitutionally. I mean, you can disagree with the court's interpretation,
sure,
and a decision, and you and I have disagreed with decisions of that court,
sure,
on numerous occasions. But to say they're acting unconstitutionally is just absolutely ignorant.
Well, and you kind of answered my next question, Jeff O'Brien. It was going to be like, what was she trying to say? But I don't even think there's a way to try to spin it in like her misspeaking. Like, it was very sort of that's what she thought, and it looked as if she was actually reading from the binder. I could be wrong on that, and that could have been just coming from her and completely unscripted. But, you know, oftentimes you can kind of look at these quotes and try to, you know, decipher, okay, what did you really mean? Because that doesn't make any sense. And in this case, no, it really sounds like she was trying to lay out an argument that it was an unconstitutional act what the Supreme Court did.
Right. Yeah, and I don't get it. And this idea that, you know, I know that there's a kind of a doctrine called stare decisis, right? You know, relying on precedent. But it's true, though, that the U.S. Supreme Court can overrule previous cases if they decide that they were wrongly decided. The famous example was, of course, the horrible decision in Plessy versus Ferguson that said racial segregation was constitutional, right? And now that case was never explicitly overruled, but you had brought, you know, that was an 1896 case. In 1954, we had Brown versus the Board of Education. I said, no, it's separate, but equal is not equal. And they said that was not constitutional. And that led to the integration of the schools across the country, or in the South where they hadn't allowed it. So that's an example of a previous case that was wrong, and later on a different Supreme Court decided it was wrong and held differently. And that's what happened here. And if anybody I would encourage everybody to actually read the Dobbs opinion, because Justice Alito talks about all this. You know, he goes through why they decided the way they decided, and it focuses. And I know that abortion is a hot button issue. But if you actually look at the original Roe versus Wade opinion, scholars on both sides have criticized the way that decision was worded, and that's largely what the Dobbs case was saying is it was they made a legislative decision, and that's why they kicked it back to the state. So the one side, you know, I understand that, you know, it's a political issue. One side is, you know, people can't afford gas and food, so the side that's responsible for it is going to try to drum up this as a reason to go vote for them.
Sure.
But it's just, I mean, the wrong speak on what the decision did, what it could mean, this is just like the icing on the ignorant cake.
Well, and it's almost as if, you know, and kind of my quick instinctive reaction to this was that, and this falls under some, this is more of a statement than it is a question, Jeff O'Brien, but just, you know, nothing needs to make sense anymore on the left. You can just make up whatever you want and it's true. And suddenly the individual who tries to go and provide clarity and reality and facts to dismiss the lie that was told is the person who's being offensive. I mean, it feels like where we are right now on so many different issues where everything's fluid. The truth is out of style. And I can't help but wonder, you know, if this whole line from KJP on this being unconstitutional was just a means to continue to sow discord among the public and to have those supporters of their side, of their team, to perpetuate that. Well, what the court did was unconstitutional, regardless of the fact of how ridiculous it was. And again, I mean, you're welcome to comment on that. That's just more of my take on, my cynical take on why she said that.
I agree with you. And, you know, this idea, you know, we hear this phrase, it's speaking your truth or speaking their truth rather than speaking the truth. It's speaking your, you know, truth has now become subjective in the minds of progressives. So when she goes up there and says it's unconstitutional in her mind, she, you know, maybe in the eyes of the left, the Democratic platform is basically the Constitution. That's what they're referring to. I don't know, but it's certainly the Supreme Court can make a decision, and it's theoretically impossible for the Supreme Court to make an unconstitutional decision.
Let's move over here, because this next one had me confused, and I'm glad that you can provide some clarity on this, because I went through it about three or four times and was trying to dive into what Minneapolis man, baby, mayor, mom jeans was trying to do here. And gladly, you know, you were able to come on and happily to provide some clarity. So, Minneapolis officials said Wednesday that they hope they can make the city a safe haven for people seeking abortions and reproductive health care by limiting city employees' ability to assist agencies that might attempt to prosecute them. So the mayor said on Wednesday, the message to Minneapolis residents, the message more broadly to other cities and states around us, is that if you need that basic healthcare service of abortion, and I take issue with calling it a basic healthcare service, but I'll get into that a little bit later. We in Minneapolis are a safe haven, he said, moments after he signed an executive order putting new restrictions in place. Now, the order aims to prevent City of Minneapolis employees from providing information or assistance to outside agencies seeking to prosecute people wanting reproductive health care that is legal in Minnesota, including abortion, contraception, and services aimed at managing pregnancy loss and professionals helping them to obtain those services. It includes an exception, though, when that assistance is required by statute, regulation, or court order. So, what does this mean? What is he trying to accomplish here? Because I had a hard time sort of deciphering what good this was supposed to do.
Yeah, John, I'm with you. I don't really necessarily understand what his intent is behind this. I mean, let's just be clear again, what the law is in Minnesota, and you can like it, you can hate it. There's people on both sides on this. In 1995, the Minnesota Supreme Court, in a case called Doe versus Gomez, held that the Minnesota Constitution protects the right to abortion. And that's the law of Minnesota. So if what Mayor Fry is doing, maybe, is, you know, maybe signaling to these, you know, to residents of surrounding states that might take action the other way, that you could, that somehow they're not going to cooperate. But I haven't heard of any discussion about state officials or local, any kind of government officials, you know, tracking somebody down because they, you know, they're going to travel across state lines to have an abortion. This is just more, you know, again, it's political posturing again. He's trying to, you know, look how pro-choice I can be. And it's you think about it, of all the issues that Minneapolis has right now, and this is what he's focusing on.
Right. That was my other takeaway, too. You're 100% correct. We've got a multitude of daily problems in Minneapolis, and this is what he signs an executive order on. There's one note towards the end of this piece that may provide a little bit more clarity. The new order comes as a couple of weeks after Our Justice and Pro-Choice Minnesota, two other organizations supporting access to abortion, called on city leaders to provide direct abortion funding and practical support. So I don't know if, you know, in this, they don't want employees helping organizations go after people that are fighting this. Does that make sense?
I guess so. I mean, this seems to me just kind of a bone thrown to these groups rather than provide funding for them. He just signs an executive order.
Gotcha.
Saying, well, we won't help anyone, you know, no state, no, none of our city employees are going to be helping someone basically prosecute somebody who has is in Minnesota for an abortion. But again, I haven't heard of any discussion of that even happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you should go focus on the court order that requires him to go hire, like, I don't know how many different hundreds of police officers.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Jeff O'Brien. Hey, man. Thank you for coming on in such a short notice. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, John.